Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode number 37 of the Atlas Annuity Podcast. I am your host, Marty Becker, owner and founder of Atlas Financial Strategies in St. Louis, Missouri, where we specialize in safe money retirement strategies. In today's episode, we're actually going to watch a video together that was made by Dave Ramsey back in November of 2023. In this particular episode of his, he talks about withdrawal rates, which I have spoken a lot about and have written a lot about throughout all of my newsletters and other podcasts, because this whole financial planning industry revolves around the 4% rule. Now, this is a clip from a young man who called into the show, who apparently has listened to Dave Ramsey stuff in the past. What he was doing is he was calling to ask his advice of, should he stop making extra payments to his mortgage so he would have more money to invest now to hopefully create a bigger nest egg down the road because the withdrawal rates are going to be so low in retirement. Now, obviously, Dave Ramsey has been wildly successful in selling his books and his financial programs to churches and other institutions. And I'm sure he's really good at helping people get out of bad consumer debt. However, in this episode, what he talks about is it's not only wrong, and I'm not talking like, oops, sorry, type of wrong. I'm talking so wrong that it could be financially catastrophic if someone does follow this advice. So we're going to watch this together, and I'm going to give a little commentary as we go along, and then we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive at the end of the video.
Jay's in Kansas City. Hi, Jay. How are you?
I am blessed. How are you, Dave?
Better than I deserve. What's up?
That's a weird answer.
Well, before I start, thank you for your foundations curriculum for high schoolers and homeschoolers, because without that, I wouldn't be debt-free today.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Very cool.
So, were you a student in it or a teacher? Or how?
I took it as a homeschooled student years and years and years ago.
Wow.
Good
that's
for
fun.
You, Jay.
So my question today is, I'm baby step 4, 5, and 6. I have about $120,000 saved for retirement. That's across my IRA, my Roth IRA, my wife's Roth IRA, and the 401k.
How old are you?
And I'm 30 years old.
Good for you. Well done.
Thank you. I feel, from what I've been running the numbers with, that I'm on the teetering edge of coasting financial independence. And I'm trying to best understand my plan with the end in mind. So how I'm going to turn that nest egg when I retire into income. I found on your website a little article that talks about 4 to 5% withdrawal rate. And I was trying to run the numbers around that. And I thought I was close. And then a month ago, George Camel released a video that said that the withdrawal rate for a 30-year time horizon should be closer to 3%. So if I can establish financial independence comfortably, then I was wondering if I could ease up on baby step 4 to pay off the house faster.
Okay, I'm a little confused because I don't know what the hell George is doing a 3% withdrawal rate, because that's absolutely wrong. I'm going to have to find out where that video is and get it taken down, because that's just wrong. You don't need to have a 3% withdrawal rate. That's ridiculous. Or I hope you misunderstood. I hope we didn't put out trash like that.
Was it 4 to 5%? Like,
no, it shouldn't be 4 to 5%. It ought to be more than that. If you're making 12 in good mutual funds and the S&P has averaged 11.8, and if inflation for the last 80 years has averaged 4%, if you make 12 and you need to leave 4% in there for inflation raises, that leaves you 8. I'm perfectly comfortable drawing 8. But if you want to be a little bit conservative, 7, but sure not 5 or 3.
I was trying to back check it because 3 to 5, I thought that was a big range. And a lot of the studies I found showed
there's a lot of studies that are stupid in this space. So it's just wrong. Listen, man, the math I just gave you is the math. If you're making 12% and inflation is 4 and you leave 4 in there, so your nest egg grows by 4. It's simple. 8 is what's left over. So if you got $1 million and you leave 4% in there, that's $40,000. Okay. So you now have $1,040,000. So the next year you get a rate of return of 12%, 11.5% on the $1,040,000. Mm-hmm. And the next year it'll be 1,090,000, 1.1, right? And because you're, so your nest egg is growing by the rate of inflation, giving you a cost of living raise every year. So as long as you're doing that, you're fine. And so if you want to be a little bit conservative,
okay. God, that was a lot already. So this is what I call Wall Street math. And I've talked about this subject several times on other podcasts. What he's doing is he's assuming that you're getting 12% every single year with no losses ever. That is not how it works. So this is the difference between average returns and actual returns. And when we're done with this, I'm actually going to show you an example of how you can have a 25% average return and your actual return is zero. Okay. I don't care what someone's average returns are, especially in retirement. I only care what their actual returns will be and in what order they will receive those returns. That is the biggest difference when we're talking about growing your money during your working years versus decumulating your money in retirement. That's what matters.
Maybe 5%. But there's all these goobers who put this 4% crap in the market. And I'm just irate right now that with the stupidity.
Why is it that stupid, though?
Like, it's too low. It's too low because it's not realistic. You do not need to live on 4% of your money for your nest egg to survive.
Yeah. Even if you did a rate of return of 10% or something. Yeah,
and what it sets up is this guy now, he doesn't think he's got enough money. And he's already got $120,000 and he's 30 years old and he's on a plan. He's on a plan to be very wealthy and he's worried he's going to have enough money or not.
Yeah.
You know, because stupid people put out low withdrawal rates. Like you,
but listen, if you
think you can only pull off 4% off of investments making 12, where the flip is the other 8% going? 4% of it went to inflation. That's where it went. The other 4% is just sitting there. So you are growing your investments instead of living off of them. I'm not destroying the nest egg. I'm not even touching the nest egg. I'm growing the nest egg by leaving 4% in there.
Yeah.
Taking 8 off of a 12 growth rate.
So go a 10% rate of return. Go a little bit more conservative with your rate of return. Go 10%. What would you do with 10%?
Then 4 off of that. So 6.
6, yeah.
But why are you going to underinvest?
Yeah.
This year, the S&P to date
was 10%.
Is 10%. And we're not even at the end of the year yet.
Yeah.
Okay. So this episode was filmed November 2nd of 2023. And he's stating that the S&P 500 was up 10% that year at the time of this recording. But what he conveniently leaves out is that the S&P actually lost 18% in value in 2022, the year before. So they haven't even come close to making up or recouping their losses from the previous year. And he's trying to make it sound like everybody has gained 10% this year when they haven't even broken even yet. Let's get back into it.
And everybody's talking about how bad the economy is.
It is.
So, you know, most years mine have done much better than 12. And so
if you can do your standard of living though, lower than what you need,
if you don't need it, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like I'm 62, or 63, I'm pulling nothing off of mine because I don't need it. I still work. I still have an income.
Right, right, right.
I don't need any of it. So it's all just sitting
there.
Okay. You know what? That's great for Dave, but he's in a very different situation than almost everyone facing retirement today, especially the people calling into his show, because number one, he's a multi-millionaire. Number two, he's going to continue to receive royalties for the rest of his life from all of his books and his educational programs that he continues to sell. So for him to even compare his situation to the average American out there who's just trying to retire, honestly, in my opinion, it's just obnoxious.
The problem is when you go down these stupid nerd rabbit holes in these Reddit threads with these morons who live in their mother's basement with a calculator, and then you put that out into the dadgum community, and then people go, I don't have enough money. It's hopeless. I'll never be able to save enough to retire. $1 million.
Okay. Stupid nerd rabbit holes, morons who live in their mother's basement. Reddit threads. First of all, to my fellow nerds out there who like to do this math and actually understand it, let me apologize for Dave. He's obviously upset about this question. But I guess the morons he's referring to are guys like Dr. Wade Fow, who has a PhD in economics from Stanford University and is one of the contributors to the curriculum for the RICP program at the American College of Finance. Now, what that means is that Wade Fow is the guy who writes the textbooks that everybody has to study to go pass the test, which Dave never passed, by the way, so they can give out advice like this. So one of the most respected financial research institutions, known as Morningstar, that was the first place that I read one of Wade Fowd's articles on these withdrawal rates, not on a Reddit thread. So I don't know where he's getting that. And Wade Fow has written probably more than anybody else that I've ever read on this particular topic of withdrawal rates. And you know what his consistent percentage has been? It's fluctuated a little bit, but pretty much on average over the past 10 years that he's been writing, 3%. 3% withdrawal rate is what he recommends. And he's the guy who writes the textbooks that the financial planners have to study to give out the advice. Even Fisher's Investments, they don't tell their clients to take out more than 5%. So where he's getting 8 is just beyond me. Let's get back.
Dollars should create for you an $80,000 income, boys and girls. So you should perpetually, if forever, you should be able to pull $80,000 forever and never destroy it. Now that, and so when you tell people that $1 million creates a $40,000 income, you go, oh, I've got to have $2 million and I can't make that. Then the system doesn't work. So what you're doing with this bogus math is you're stealing people's hope.
No, you're not stealing people's hope. You're giving them a reality check. The only thing that's going to steal their hope is if they take this advice and they retire into a negative sequence of return scenario, and then they're out of money in 10 to 15 years. That steals their hope. Then they're desperate.
Well, I'm pissed about it because it's hope stealing with super nerds that have never really done anything to start with. They don't have any investments. They just have theories. I've actually freaking got investments. My money is actually invested exactly the way I teach people to invest it. And I'm easily making 12% on my money. Easily. Average throughout a decade.
Yeah.
So,
nope. There it is. Did you catch that? He said average. This is the difference between, again, average returns and actual returns. It does not matter what your average return is once you start pulling money from your portfolio. It only matters what your actual returns are and the order in which those returns come to you. And that is totally out of your control when your money is in variable investments like the stock market and mutual funds.
It's just asinine that we do this stuff. So no, honey, you need to save 15% of your income in baby step forward off. When your house gets paid off, you will increase your investing ratios above that. You are not going to retire poor. Stay away from 4% withdrawal rate morons who are telling you this is the thing. So, God, it's just aggravating.
Okay, I think that's enough for now. Let's just look at how angry he is. And he's not mad because he thinks guys like me are stealing people's hopes or guys like Wade Fow or all these super nerds he's talking about. The only time I see someone get this angry over a simple question is maybe when they've been asked something similar before, they've given their answer, but then they were challenged on that answer with logic and facts, and it destroys their view on the topic. So it's very much of, I gave my answer, you should just listen to what I say because I said it. And if you don't, I'm just going to start calling you names and I'm going to try and embarrass you and shame you in front of a national audience here. It's very much like what we're seeing in politics today. Okay, so let's just switch gears for now and we'll go into some of these arguments that he's making one at a time. Okay, so let's jump into this thing I call Wall Street math. This is the difference between average returns versus actual returns. And remember, we caught Dave saying, oh, I get 12%. On average over a decade. Here's the problem with average returns. If you got $1 million and I double your money the first year, and then I lose half of it, and then I double it again, and then I lose half of it, your average return over that four-year period is 25%, and that's what you see on your statement that you get in the mail. Your actual return was zero, okay? And, of course, you're paying management fees in that portfolio, so your actual return is actually negative whatever you paid in management fees. Let's look at his statement real quick of where he said the S&P is already up 10% this year. Now, that was November of 2023. It may have been up a little more than 10% because the end of 2023, the S&P 500 actually closed up 26%. But don't forget, it lost 18%, and that's what the dividends included. It was 19.5% if you didn't include the dividends. In this scenario, where you lost 18% the year before and you gained 26% the next year, you barely broke even. You barely came out of that unscathed. Now, do you think those people who retired that year were freaking out a little bit that their money almost lost 20% of its value? I would think so. Because if you were withdrawing $80,000, like Dave says you can, and you lost 18% on top of that, and then you took another $80,000, but you regained 26%. Now your portfolio is just barely over $820,000. So you're down $150,000 in your portfolio. You didn't stack up money, that additional 4% that he was talking about leaving in there. You're actually down quite a bit, and you're only 2 years into retirement. So let's talk about this stupid nerd math. And again, I apologize to you guys out there who like to do this math and are good at it. I think he was just a little caught off guard. But the only thing that matters is the sequence of returns, meaning the order in which you get the returns. Now, in a negative sequence of return scenario, if you had $1 million and you had all your money in the S&P 500, which you should never do, no advisor will tell you to do that. And that's why the withdrawal rates are set the way they are. But if you were taking out $80,000 a year and you retired in the year 2000, you would be out of money in 11 years. That is stealing people's hope. This is terrible advice. Please don't ever do that. However, more stupid nerd math, is there a possibility that this could work out? Absolutely. In a positive sequence of returns, if we go back to the year 1995, where the S&P had five huge years in a row, then this 8% withdrawal rate would have worked. In fact, you would have had more money 29, 30 years down the road than what you started with. The problem is, this is completely out of our control. We don't know what's going to happen or when it's going to happen. So basically, you have a 50-50 shot of this working out for you if you decide to go this route. No different than walking into a casino and saying, put it all in red or put it all in black. You don't know what's going to happen. Now, there was one part that I wasn't quite clear on that Dave was talking about. I couldn't tell if he was saying, take the 4% inflation, which is enormous. Most people barely have enough money to take an additional 2% in inflation every year. He's telling you, you can take 4. Now, if we go into that same positive sequence of return scenario, going back to 1995, where you would have had more money 30 years from now than when you started, if you would have been taking 4% increases that whole time, then you would have been out of money in about 22 years. So there's some clarification that needs to be figured out there. That's a big difference of having more money than when you started versus running out of money after 21, 22 years. I'm very fascinated with this 12% return. Again, we've talked about averages versus actual returns. He says average, but everything else he talks about, he is given the impression of actual returns of 12%. Now, he gave this guy the advice of save 15% of your income. Let's just say this guy's making $100,000 a year. So he's saving $15,000 per year. And if he's getting 12% year over year, in 30 years, he would have over $4 million. Okay. Now, I talk to a lot of people every week, and there are a lot of people who have money like this. But on a percentage scale, it's a very small percentage, like less than 10% have this type of money. And if you do have this type of money and you can somehow show me that your cost basis was only $15,000 per year to create that type of wealth, please call me because I want to know what you did because I want to start doing it. Okay, so here's a little more stupid nerd math. I don't know if you caught it at the end of that segment we listened to. His advice to the young man that called in, that he hung up on, by the way, what he said was, I think he called him sweetheart, no, keep making the extra payments to your mortgage, which will then give you more money down the road to invest, and you're going to retire very wealthy. Well, right out of the gate, that advice is violating the eighth wonder of the world, compounding interest. Okay. It goes back to the old analogy, would you rather have $1 million today or would you rather have a penny that doubles in value for 31 days straight? If you took the penny on the 31st day, you would have over $10.7 million. That is the power of compounding over the long term. So let's just verify some of his advice using some stupid nerd math. Let's say this young man, instead of taking the full $15,000 per year and getting the 12%, which we just saw would get him over $4 million after a 30-year period, he starts taking $10,000 of that to pay down his mortgage. Okay? So instead of paying off the mortgage in 30 years, he pays it off in 20. So let's just say his mortgage was $1,000. He was putting an extra $10,000 per year towards it. Now it's paid off. We're 20 years down the road. So now he's taking the $12,000 per year that was going toward the mortgage plus the extra $10,000. And now he's investing a total of $22,000 in addition to that $5,000 he has been investing the previous 20 years. But he only has 10 years left before retirement. How did that look? So the $5,000 he's been investing this whole time, because he was taking the extra to pay his mortgage down at 12% over 30 years, that turned into $1.35 million. After he pays off the mortgage, now he has 10 years of investing $22,000 per year at 12%. That ended up being an extra $432,000. So the advice he just gave him was the difference of ending up with over $4 million versus $1.8 million, just because he told him to pay his mortgage off early and send the extra money to pay it down instead of investing it. Now, because we were doing finger math in this video, 12% minus 4% is 8. Thank God we know that. Since we're doing finger math, can someone please explain to me why you would pay off a mortgage? And for instance, I have a 2.6% interest rate right now. I somehow hit the very bottom of those rates, but let's just say you're in a 5 or 6% right now. Can somebody tell me why you would pay off a mortgage rate of 3, 4, or 5% early and lock that money up forever instead of going and getting 12% somewhere else? Mathematically, that makes no sense whatsoever. Especially if you have a mortgage rate at 3, 3.5, 4% or lower. That makes zero sense whatsoever. So this type of advice, I don't even know really how to process it. It's idiotic. I'm sorry. So the only way to get an 8% withdrawal rate in perpetuity, as he says, on a guaranteed basis. Now, I'm sure there's all kinds of other investments out there, speculation, things like that, that you could get an 8% return to sustain that withdrawal rate or even maybe higher. But on a guaranteed basis, the only way to do that is with an income annuity. Because right now, at the time of this recording, which is July of 2024, a 65-year-old couple can get a guaranteed 7.9% payout rate on a guaranteed basis, no matter how long they live. That's perpetuity. Now, even if that annuity runs out of money, because we saw the type of returns you would need to keep up with that amount of payout rate, even if the annuity runs out of money, it will never run out of income. And in retirement, That's the most important thing. Ask any wealthy person. It's all about cash flow. How much is coming through the door every month? Not how much you have in your pile of money that you're holding hostage. Unfortunately, but fortunately, I should say, you can't put all of your money into an annuity anyway. So you're always going to have plenty of money for other investments to chase the bigger gains, but also sustain the losses and have a nice emergency fund sitting on the side. And I'm telling you, the sooner you do this for your retirement and the longer you let it defer, the higher the payout rate. So this 7.98% is if you call me and say, Marty, I need income like 30 days from now. That's what we can get you on a guaranteed basis. But if you call me and say, hey, I got 3 years before I'm walking, now we don't have to commit as much to the annuity, which allows you a bigger payout rate from it. So less premium going in and more money sitting outside to chase the bigger returns. So do not wait. Get your Atlas annuity strategy for your personal situation done today. The best way to do that is to reach out to me by going to atlasannuity.com, which will take you directly to my calendar, or by clicking the schedule call button that's in the top right corner of any page on my website, and we'll schedule a phone call to get all of your questions answered to see if this is even going to be a good fit for you. So everyone, I hope you enjoyed this and I hope it went well. Again, this is the first time I've tried to do any type of follow along with other people's content. And I enjoyed doing it. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, do us a favor. Please hit the subscribe button on YouTube or on your podcast player. Please like the episode and please share it with someone that you think could benefit from it. So again, this is Marty Becker coming to you with episode number 37 of the Atlas Annuity Podcast. Wishing you all the best in your financial education. We will catch you in the next episode.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Atlas Annuity Podcast. All information presented is for educational purposes only and is not a recommendation to implement any tax strategy, nor is it a recommendation to buy, sell, or transfer any security or insurance products. Atlas Financial Strategies Incorporated is an insurance-only licensed entity, and any decisions to buy or sell securities should be discussed with a licensed securities advisor, and any tax strategy should be discussed with a licensed tax professional. Past performance of any strategies or products mentioned are not a guarantee of future returns. For any other questions or concerns, please go to www.atlasannuity.com.